All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. January 29th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is cold and windy. We had that big storm. Still have the remnants of that thing hanging around in the air and on the ground, and it looks like we are on track for another one. This one looking like it's more focused here on the East Coast, coming from the coast, up the coast, a nor'easter, as opposed to the other one, which sort of came across and then went up and headed north and pounded all of our families up in the, up in the northeast part of the country. We got skirted a little bit, and of course, our storm eventually turned to rain, and then slush, and then ice, and yada, 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 but here we are, and it looks like we're going to get another one. My buddy, I won't say his name, right? My buddy, he's going to do the polar bear plunge. I think it's this weekend. He actually texted me and asked me if I would donate, and I will. What is the website? Maybe if anybody feels like donating to the polar bear plunge, I don't know if they're going to still have it, but I'm sure they'll do something, but it's donate to 2026 Lewis Polar Bear Plunge. I wonder what day it's on. It can't be Sunday, right? Sunday is supposed to be nasty. I'm talking, oh, the Polar Bear's Plunge is so much more. let me see when the day is. Anyway, it's not really saying. I think it's this weekend. I text him, I go, I don't know if you're going to be able to do this. The winds are supposed to be terrible. Northeast, 50 to 60 miles an hour. Wind, beach erosion. I don't know about any polar bear plunge. Excuse me, but we will see. But yeah, man, it is definitely January. Wrapping up January, actually heading into February. Getting ready for Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. whatever. I know my wife, she likes that holiday. Yeah, so anyway, I thought I would come upstairs, see what is going on. I have been very actively going to quite a few meetings in the last few days. I'm not sure when the last time I did the podcast. I know I've been trying to do it, so it hasn't been that long ago. Not exactly sure what I talked about. I know in the podcast that I was asked to speak at the Tuesday night meeting, which was an As Bill Sees It. And that was a great meeting. You know, it's funny. I'm like, whatever, man. I've been doing this a long time. I don't have to really get nervous. I don't have to, you know, I just, you know, experience strength and hope, what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. It's very easy if I get out of my own way. How to, you know, basically share at a meeting, really. You know, I don't have to save the world. Just get, you know, share a little bit of my experience and then, you know, get a topic and let her get rolling. And by now I'm like, you know, whatever. I don't. I've gone to some meetings that didn't seem like I would be nervous and been very nervous, and I've been to some meetings that I thought I would be very nervous and wasn't. So, it's really what's going on with me spiritually. I think me and my relationship with God, am I holding the hand of God? All this other stuff really determines how I will be feeling when I speak at a meeting. And my idea was, it is As Bill Sees It, so all I have to do is pick a page, right, read it, and, you know, share my thoughts on it, and no big deal. And of course, I got to the meeting early, and I start, you know, of course, rifling through As Bill Sees It, trying to find, you know, I'm like, you know, let's, how about this? No, how about this? No. And then I'm like, stop, you know, because I'm sort of trying to pretend, or not pretend, but sort of, you know, set the narrative of what I'm going to talk about. And yeah, I don't want to do that either. So I ended up just opening the book to a spot and reading it, and it was called The Spiritual Triangle, I think. And I read it, and honestly, it's one of those, I couldn't even tell you what I said. You know, it was like a blur. The Spiritual Triangle. And it is a, I do believe through the steps of this program, I have had a spiritual awakening. I do believe that the spiritual awakening is different than the spiritual awakening that I thought one might have. I do believe I have lowered my expectations of what a spiritual awakening is and does. And I'm really excited about what sort of came out on the other end, right? What on the other side. I also believe, for me, a spiritual awakening isn't as much a... Because I think immediately I'm like, oh, a spiritual awakening is something that has to do with God. And for me, a spiritual awakening has been really waking up to the amount of spiritual activity that goes on in my life, right? All of the crazy stuff, the different things, the different... I call them spirits. Naming the different spirits, it's been... You know, I've awoken to the spirituality stuff in my life, right? And, you know, arrogance and inconvenience, right? To me, those are two spirits. Now, I don't know the exact definition of a spiritual awakening. I'm sure there is one, but I know it's different than a relationship with God.
To the ceiling, bad moves are coming, better say your prayers. I wanna tell you that I love you, but it really matters. I just can't stand to see you dragging down.
Crown of Thorns, Pearl Jam. Actually, yeah, I forget the name of the band. That's so bad, but great, great song. This is my kind of love. This is my kind of love, right? Peace, love, and free of fear. This is a love I've never had, right? And yeah, you know, it's a... it's funny. Last night I went to the meeting, and my buddy, you know, he's leading the meeting, and the person he had to set up front was sick, so he asked another friend of mine to do it. He only had 11 months, and he did such a great job, right? Just did a great job. Really well spoken, really shared his journey and what it was like and what happened and what it is like now. And he just really did a great job. He's young. I've known him for a long time. I know his family. I used to do, in the other things that I've ever done in my life, I've involved, you know, business and stuff, and I've worked with his uncle in some other things and some other projects. I'll keep it anonymous, but, you know, I've known him for a long time, and I'd be like, how's he doing? He's like, he's doing good. And then I'd say, how's he doing? He's like, he's not doing good, right? And it was always, you know, not really interacting with him. I would see him and say, hey, man, what's up? And, you know, of course, have cordial good mornings and hellos and goodbyes and all that stuff. But, you know, he's younger than me, different world, but still always friends. And, you know, I would see him come into the rooms and then, you know, he'd disappear. And I'd see him come into the rooms and then I would see him disappear. And, you know, sometimes I would see him doing social media stuff. And, you know, I could totally relate how all of the different things that I tried to do to make myself Not the person that I was, which was basically just an alcoholic, you know, over drinker, overthinker kind of person. And so I would see him on social media. I'd be like, oh, you know, and finally he showed up in the rooms again, and I would see him in the rooms, and I know, you know, when the motivation is good or bad, I would see him and I'd be like, hey man, if you want to go through the steps or if you need to chat or anything, you know, I would send him a text, and sometimes, you know, depending on where he was in his world, he'd be like, yeah man, thank you. And sometimes he would just ignore me. Right. And I've been there too. Like, I don't want any fucking help. I'm just going to do this. And so his journey's been, it's been great. And luckily, you know, not too much drama or pain. I don't know his whole story, but, you know, he's here, right? And he's doing good. He's got 11 months, and he's, you know, I talk about him. Actually, I talked about him the other day because I saw him after the meeting. And I said, you know, how proud I was of him and how much potential he has. He really does. It's amazing what we can be if we put down this booze, right? The booze and the drugs. It's amazing what kind of people are still in here and how much that really holds us back. I know it definitely held me back. Unfortunately, it held me back at a real important time in my life. And so when I finally did get sober, I was really, you know, scurrying to try to catch up. But, you know, there's really a lot of potential in all of us as long as we can put down the bottle. And what kind of potential, right? There's obviously the working physical potential, but there's also potential for a spiritual relationship and a relationship with God and a higher power and all that stuff. And, you know, it's just really cool. And so last night him sharing, and he, you know, his story was interesting because he talked about how his mom, who was a local from this area, went down to Florida and met a guy, a Haitian guy, and his mom's white, and met a Haitian guy, and they had relations, right? And she got pregnant, and she had him. And then, you know, so he's mixed. He said he's black. He doesn't really look black to me, but I see it, right? He's got that strong beard, right? That curly hair. He's really, you know, a good-looking guy, really. But he, you know, I could tell. And he talked about it in his share, like how he, you know, his mom would come back here and then meet another guy, and then they would have kids, and so he always felt like the outcast. Is really what it came down to, and bouncing back and forth from here to Florida, back and forth, and you know, getting in trouble here, getting in trouble there, joining the military, you know, the typical, basically my story with just different, you know, characters and locations because. My story was the same thing, always just sort of bouncing around, you know, getting in some sort of trouble. You know, I remember going to that school out in La Jolla and really, you know, had I not been using drugs and alcohol, it was a great opportunity or would have been for me to maybe have a successful life, but I couldn't get my shit together and they threw me out. Right. And that was one of those moments where I look back and say, geez, if I could have just pulled it together. Right. Same thing with him, you know, joining the military, wanting to do this and that, and getting caught doing this and that, and then getting kicked out and demoted and moved on. And yeah. And, finally, you know, finally becoming sick of our bullshit, right? There's levels of it, right? There's becoming sick of our shit to get us in the door, right? Then there's sick of our bullshit to get us, you know, maybe addressing the steps. And then, you know, we get sick of our bullshit in the end where we finally fine-tune all of this stuff and hopefully we can try to be really decent people, right? And I could relate. You know, I was, as a guy that was adopted, and I never knew my birth father, but I had a father, right? I have a dad now. And he was everything a dad would be. You know, when I think about how I am as a father, I try to role model myself after my dad in some aspects, but I don't blame my dad. You know, it was the times, right? Everybody was sort of doing their thing and we're all sort of doing the best we can. And, you know, he was a soccer coach and basketball games and baseball. And, you know, we did everything I think like most people would do. And I shared that in the meeting. You know, I had great family and I still turned out to be like a piece of garbage. So, you know, and I've even played the I wish I knew my real parents card, and I threw that in my parents' face, and I always, you know, that was always a tool, right? That got some results. That hurt feelings. But, you know, today I realize, and I think my buddy who shared last night, you know, and like my buddy Matt used to say, I am not a victim, right? I am not a victim and I am not afraid. And I used to think that was strange, but today I absolutely get it, right? There is nothing out there that I can blame for how I feel out here. And there's nothing out there that's going to help me fix how I feel inside here. RFK always says that. There's nothing out there that's going to fix how I feel in here. Meaning there's no drug, there's no, you know, whatever it is, right? Drugs, sex, what food. Nothing out here is going to help fix me how I feel inside here. And, you know, let's say, and it all comes down to about accountability. And, you know, I'm also, like I said, I've been hung up on this life, right? Life. And how, you know, if I replace life with actions, how it really changes how I look at things. You know, we admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our actions have become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, and then made a decision to turn our will and our actions, right, over to a care of a God of our understanding, right? It starts, you know, because, like I said before, I don't even know what life was. You know, at 57, I'm starting to understand what life is. And I don't know if it's a purpose to serve me. I think it's more of a purpose to be of service to others. And but, you know, there's people, you know, we need everyone, I guess, right? Everyone has a role. There are people out there living a life that, you know, recovery wouldn't really work for, you know, whatever it is they're doing. Maybe it's crime. Maybe it's whatever it is that keeps them surviving, I guess, you know, for some reason that, I mean, I've been on that path of, you know, negative lifestyle living and all that stuff and didn't like it. Maybe I'm sure the people that live it now hopefully don't like it, but, you know, there's some businesses and there's some, you know, things in life where we have to be a killer, right? We have to be relentless in sales. I don't know. You know, the life that I live is pretty boring. So recovery works for me because I don't have to do much. I just have to be a nice person and cut hair and raise my kids and, you know, stay out of trouble. But maybe there are people that, you know, that other lifestyle benefits. I don't know. Spiritually, for me, it definitely did not. But, you know, his story was great. And I'm just really proud that he's in the rooms. And I told him, you know, because he's also a young person and he's a great addition. You know, there's nothing worse. I remember coming in to recover early on. It was just a bunch of old people. And I was like, oh, God. But, you know, if younger people are coming in, it's, you know, when other young people come in, they're more likely to feel like they're part of this than, you know, feeling like, why am I even here kind of thing. So that's good. So it was nice. Let me read the daily reflections. I don't have a lot going on. I just sort of want to keep going with this podcast and see if we can, what do you say? They moved it. Oh, I bet. I guess they moved the polar bear plunge. Daily reflections. The joy of sharing. Ah, yes. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contacts, excuse me, with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Frequent contact with newcomers and each other's is the bright spot of our life. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 89. To know that each newcomer with whom I share has the opportunity to experience the relief that I have found in this fellowship fills me with joy and gratitude. I feel that all the things described in AA will come to pass for them, as they have for me, if they seize the opportunity, embrace the program fully. Yeah. Yeah, it's a trip, man. Recovery's a trip. I think about it a lot because I've been doing this since 1997, and even though I have not been sober that whole time, I have been going to meetings that whole time. Even during the times when I was struggling, I would go to meetings, right? I would, usually it's after I got caught. I mean, when I first came into the program, I was doing meeting every day. And like I said, it, you know, it taught me how to be a human again. Good examples in there, young people, old people, you know, teaching me how, just by their behavior and actions, how to be a somewhat, you know, normal person, which was a lot better than what I was before. And, but you know, this mental gymnastics that I have gone through over the time of recovery has been crazy. And nothing has changed, right? I mean, locations have changed, people, places and things have changed, but you know, the 12 steps and the 12 traditions have not changed. And, you know, the message isn't any different. And the only thing that changes is what happens in between my ears. And, you know, when I've, early on, there was nothing going on. My life was such a, you know, at the very bottom, meetings were great. And then, you know, I start getting better and success starts happening. And then the first thing to drop off is the meetings. And then we find our way back in and we're in and out. And it's just been an amazing journey. Today in my recovery, it's always about the newcomer. And it's always the message I always try to say is, you know, it's great that you're here. I'm glad you're doing well. But your job now is to be here for the next alcoholic. And, you know, I see a lot of, I don't know why. Is it a spiritual attack? I don't know. But I see a lot of recovery options on social media, whether it's Instagram or Facebook, but really attacking AA and this old OG kind of thinking and, you know, never go back to AA. Like there's another solution other than Alcoholics Anonymous. God damn. And I don't believe that to be true. And so I'm always in a little shock when I see these commercials for, you know, so you never have to go to another AA meeting. And I'm like, why? Why? What is the problem? And, you know, usually it's God. And it's a spiritual battle. It's a holy war. And, you know, I don't know. Anyway, I'm gonna cut this short because I'm coughing and I hate that. So, I hope everyone has a great day. And yeah, we'll catch you later. Bye. I used to treat you like a lady, and you're my substitute teacher. This bottle's not a pretty sight.